Welcome back to the Tipsy Theology Podcast. I don't know about you, Steve. I'm a little sleepy today.
That's a rainy Florida, almost summer's over
is that
afternoon.
Believable, you think?
The thing is like I'm also actively trying not to yawn.
I know, me too.
But your eyes just got really watery, so I think that was real.
It wasn't. It was fake. But now it's making me want to yawn for real.
I feel like yawning is one of the best examples of like if you tell your body something or if you do a motion, you can trick your brain into thinking something is true that's not true.
Yeah, I just yawned.
Like you can make yourself tired.
Yeah, that's true.
You can also make yourself not tired.
Yeah.
Like when you're in bed and you just keep thinking about other things and then you entertain you those thoughts.
You can like infuse energy into yourself.
Yeah.
Well, because music does that to me too, because that's a trick I'll do on car rides. I've got like certain bands that I listen to and they energize me.
Oh, okay.
And when I listen to them, it's like, yeah.
I feel like there's some though, like that only lasts for so long.
It does wear off eventually.
Yeah. Like there was one of my longtime best friends. He and I left Lakeland at like 8 p.m. and we had to be in Alabama, like middle of Alabama that night. So, and we had a Penske truck with a bunch of gear in it.
Oh, dang.
And so,
that's a drive.
And this was like 2012, maybe 2011, something like that. So it was like just on the verge of like we both had iPods, but like not like that was back in the era when iPods weren't connected to the internet. So you had to like plug them in.
You had to actually sync it up and everything.
Yeah. So like that took a long time. So we had his laptop and then I was just burning CDs. So I would make a playlist.
That's awesome.
And then we would throw the playlist in. And then when that CD was done, I would have a new playlist. And we just used burned CDs.
Oh, I love that.
We kind of went back a little bit in that era. But it was like, yeah, we rode the entire way with the windows down.
Yeah.
Only listening to something at like 150 BPM.
That's so good.
Just like as fast as possible. And that got tiring.
Yeah. Sometimes talking helps a lot for me too, but you have to be the one talking.
Really?
At least for, like, I mean, like me personally.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm falling asleep and someone starts talking to me, if I'm allowed to, like, if I have time to rant and respond, it gets my brain working.
That makes sense.
And it kind of wakes me back up. But if someone's talking to me, I'm going down quick.
Yeah, I get that. The problem is I'm a verbal processor.
Oh, yeah.
So I can probably talk myself to sleep.
That's awesome.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like I would have never said that, but I feel like this year I've learned that a lot about myself.
Hmm.
But that is a weird thing where like I can be talking and then my brain starts going somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And like I feel like we're dancing around what we're going to talk about today, mainly because like one of the weird things about cognition is that it feels like you have a version of yourself that you're always communicating with,
yeah,
and together as you communicate in the world,
yeah.
And those two things can separate and come back together.
Yeah,
it's like true. Anytime I'm doing any type of music or anything like that, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Where I have to like bring those two things back into alignment. So like my mind is not out here, but my body is functioning here.
Yeah.
Because it's like muscle memory stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So your mind can wander and be somewhere completely different than where your body actually physically is functioning.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying.
And yeah, so to use like the creepier terms with it, it's like we're normally in our regular waking life, we're tethered to our body.
Right.
And we can't think outside of our body.
Right.
As far as like, I'm not thinking about doing this, but it's like, I just do it. Like, it's part of me. It's just.
Yeah, why do you do that though?
I don't know. I can't. Just, I'm a Luigi.
Oh, that's what I was going to talk about. Wait, we did.
Are we locked in?
Yes. Do you want me to side trail right now because you
Let's
just
go.
Said that?
Let's go.
Okay, so I learned this the other day, and it was on a podcast, one of my favorite podcasts. He brought it up, and I was like, that is insane. So we did say that on the last, or one of the last
episodes.
We went
on for like 5 minutes with it, I think.
But did I already say this in the last one?
What? But the, you might, I don't know what you're going to say.
So
we're not that locked in. No.
So the, Oh, no, we would just play around with the, I'm a Luigi, like, yeah, like all the things that are added in.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So, it's a me, Mario. Like, it's a me, a Mario. Do you know that that is Japanese?
What?
Okay, good.
I don't know this.
So, he's not saying it, like, as a over-exaggerated Italian Brooklyn plumber. He's actually saying, itsa. I-T-S-A, which is a Japanese word for super.
Really?
Yes.
So he's saying Super Mario.
He's saying Super Mario.
What?
So when you hear him go, it's a me, Mario, he's saying Super Mario.
No way.
Yeah. I don't know how we got to like the... The newest version.
Could you imagine if they kept going with that and Mario's just like, arewa?
Well, because I believe that the creator was Japanese.
Yeah.
And
he's very Japanese.
Yeah. What does that mean?
like, I can't even pronounce his last name or his first name.
Because you're not Japanese.
Yeah.
I understand.
I could probably guess my way through it.
yeah.
Isn't like he the like Himagashi or whatever?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
But something like that.
Because Nintendo is...
Japanese word.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was the... So
that's
like,
so crazy.
But if you think about Mario...
But didn't they afterwards just get like an American voice impersonator and have him just do the character?
Yeah, but if you think about like the original Mario...
Yeah.
There's not talking.
Right.
Except when he goes, it's a me, a Mario.
Yeah.
Or he'll make like weird sounds and stuff like that.
Yeah, true.
So it actually worked in every language.
That's so crazy.
Because... Itza is Japanese for super.
That's so wild.
So he's just going, Super Mario, which is like...
That's so wild.
I know. When I learned that, I was like, my whole childhood is different.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lie?
Yeah. But no, I was like, no, that's... I mean, that we've had many conversations about this, but...
That's so crazy.
That... Information does nothing for my life.
No, but it's fun.
Yes. But that's like the same thing like with the Bible. There's like deeper meaning stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where like it doesn't change your salvation.
Right.
But it deepens it. It's like, wow, I know more. I can see like everything's a little richer now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that there's a lot of things like that that are fun to talk about where you're like, oh, that's what that meant. Like that doesn't change anything. It just makes it a little richer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think actually that's a good point to bring up with, because I mean here's a, I think I mentioned this to you off the podcast one time, where it's like conversation. So for all that you don't know, because we've been dancing around it, we're talking about sleep paralysis today.
Did we say hello?
I kind of yawned through it. But hey guys, welcome back. Just in case we forgot.
Yeah. So this is a very relaxed episode. We're on couches.
It's pretty nice. I kind of like the couch vibe.
Me too.
It makes it casual, which is fun. But yeah, so with that,
sleep paralysis.
But it's like, okay, why do we talk about this? Why
most people don't.
Most people, because it's creepy.
I haven't had many conversations about it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's funny to me. I've probably had, not a lot, but I've had some.
Okay.
And I think a lot of that's just because I've experienced it so much.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Like, it really is.
It's
like,
actually a part of my life.
I feel like most people only talk about things they've experienced.
True, honestly.
Which does kind of make sense. But yeah.
Yeah. But so it's like that question of like, okay, why bother? Like, why are you obsessed with this?
Sure.
And I think with it, it's like, oh, I'm not obsessed with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, it is something that happens. So let's figure out what to do with it.
Right.
And I think if anything, this is kind of a spoiler alert for where this will probably end up, is like our goal is to seek truth and to find a deeper... have a deeper understanding of who God is and what the Bible has to say and
right.
what our lives are in context of who Christ is.
Yeah.
And sometimes in order to do that, we need to add the bumpers of like, so what's this? Be like, that's not good. So let me just tell you a little bit about it and let's jump away from it.
Right.
And I think that's this conversation is like, let's throw the bumper up of like, this is what this, let's identify this in terms of who Christ is and then push ourselves back toward him.
Yeah, because I think that like within the last 100 years, the American church or the evangelical church, probably worldwide. I mean, again, I can only speak to my experiences.
Yeah. How old are you? 600. And
yeah, but like I would say from what I know in American history and then like kind of Western evangelicalism,
yeah,
is that like, and maybe this is just true in general. I think people just tend to not talk about what they don't know.
Yeah.
And then if somebody comes up and they're in a position of spiritual authority, and someone walks up to them and asks them about something,
yeah,
then if they don't know and they're in a position of authority, I think that they think or have thought, well, I need to have an answer for this.
Yeah.
And if I don't, then what I experienced a lot was people just saying, like, you don't need to know about that. Don't worry about it. Which is like the last thing you want to say to anybody, really, because, well, of course, now that's all I want to know about.
Yeah.
But then I think people blow stuff way out of proportion.
Yeah.
Because somebody in leadership told them, don't worry about that stuff. And if they would have just done a little bit of research, then they would have let it be as small as it actually is.
Yeah. Because it blows up is what, right. what it does.
Yeah. Because something like sleep paralysis can sound daunting. And have like scary, like you can kind of live in that world, especially if somebody says, don't worry about it. Like, there's no reason for you to mess with it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, now I'm down this huge rabbit trail that's consuming. And it actually is just kind of a small thing.
It's true.
That plays into a bigger conversation.
Yeah. That's
like
very
it's
true.
One small aspect of something that plays into a bigger conversation.
Yeah.
So,
and I think especially that answer to people that are experiencing it, it's like, well, don't worry about it. It's like, well, I am worried about it.
Right.
Like, it's too late.
Yeah. And that's easy for somebody to say who's not experiencing it.
Yeah.
That's where it's tough. Like, that's always a hard thing. And I think church leaders need to do, not a better job, but need to be more proactive about whatever's brought to them, do the research, and have conversations.
Yeah.
And if somebody brings something to them, don't diminish that person because that person is on a journey to find and be closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
And all they're asking is, can you help me with this? They're not asking, do you have the answer? And I think sometimes we like can respond with, no, I don't have the answer to that, but it's not that big of a deal. Don't worry about it. But it's the biggest thing in their world. That's why they're asking you about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like, if it's a small little thing, it's not like you're doing a Q&A. It's like, no, if someone walks up to you in church, that's the biggest thing in their world if they bring it up to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like that's one of those things that like, and I think people are doing a better job of it now. I think the 80s and 90s, it wasn't as easy to have conversations. And I think in the 40s, no one talked to each other. I think it's just like culture. It's like
everyone's working too hard. They're like, we don't have time.
Yeah. And just like, man, just like suck it up.
Yeah.
And the thing about that is like, okay, fine, I guess. But then how will you ever know if somebody's actually okay? You know, like just because they go to church every week and they work a job and they're mildly successful and they're still in church for, you know, 40 years later.
Yeah.
And they keep to themselves.
Those are the people I worry about the most.
I know, but like that's what the 50s and like, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s. And then I think now people that grew up in that era look at everybody and go, why aren't you like that? What I experienced when I was younger. Well, like most of those people probably didn't make it to heaven.
Dang.
You know what I mean though?
Yeah.
And like their home life was way worse than you could ever imagine.
Right.
And ask some of those people because they were kids in that era and they experienced terrible households.
Yeah.
Because there was no outlet for it and nobody talked about it and nobody, you know what I mean? Like
if
somebody would have just said, hey, I've had sleep paralysis.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about that for 30 minutes.
Right.
And then maybe that's one less thing you have to worry about.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or maybe
or at least
we can just frame it.
Give you some tools to deal with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we can frame it in a way that it is a small thing.
Yeah.
Like all the way. I don't know. I don't, because every if you're walking up to somebody and bringing up a topic, it's huge to you.
Yeah, it's true.
Even if it's small in the grand scheme of things, it's massive to you because it's right there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess like the first beginning of this for people who don't know, or maybe start with like the clinical side of it, as you put it.
We missed something.
What did we miss? Oh, you're right. Thank God you're here. We've got coffee because we've got to stay awake.
In the middle of the day.
No sleep in here. Yeah, it's noon right now.
It's already kind of cold.
That's sad. Do you like strong coffee?
I like good coffee.
Okay.
I think I like lighter roast stuff.
Because this is...
This is pretty dark.
It's dark because it's like an espresso.
Oh.
Bean, so it's got like a harsher...
That's a lot of espresso.
Yeah.
You are tired.
I just do what my heart tells. No, I'm just probably gonna kill myself accidentally
with all the espresso.
Yeah, just over caffeinated. No, I don't measure.
It's like infused.
I think so.
Okay, that makes sense.
We'll have to. It's Cafe Bustelo. We'll have to look at the package.
Yeah,
I just know that it's yellow and it's cheap and it. I think it tastes good.
True.
Yeah, it's not gonna win any awards, but.
Yeah.
If you're like, I just need something that's I mean, not it's disgusting.
Probably, it's probably won something.
Oh, it probably has. Yeah. It is a beautiful package. I'll
I always think of I won a major award. The A Christmas Story. When he gets the leg lamp.
It's a lamp. What a classic movie.
I want to go up. Come here. Let's see it from the road.
And his wife just hates it.
I know. She's so embarrassed.
It's so good.
It's a major award. I love that. Fragile.
It must be Italian.
Oh, man.
I think it's a bowling alley.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you think it's going to get like a bowl. Like, well, you know, not all together. It's going to.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, because he didn't know what the major award was. Now we're just on our phones.
Yeah, we're actually just texting each other.
No, you guys want to jump in on the group chat?
Yeah, we got a private Discord going. That actually probably would be a lot of fun.
It would be.
That'd be fun.
Not right now, though.
No, not at
we didn't let anybody
moment.
Know.
But would you guys? We should create one if you guys.
When you're viewing this, jump on Discord.
Just jump on. There's nowhere to go yet.
Blurry left hand.
Blurry left hand. No feet. Blurry extremities. That's
blurry extremity. That could get dangerous.
Yeah, actually, we shouldn't say that.
All right, so sleep paralysis.
So the Mayo Clinic, the condiment Mayo clinic.
Ketchup clinic.
Yeah. This is their definition of sleep paralysis.
Mayo is somebody's name, though, for sure.
Probably.
Yeah.
First name?
Every medical facility that
Dr. Mayo, that's my guy.
Well, no, it's probably just the guy who financed it.
Oh, that's true.
Or his estate financed it.
Yeah.
That's usually what happens.
I wonder where that came from. Because you know how like a lot of names...
Donations?
Well, like his name, the name Mayo.
Oh.
So it's like, you know...
Makers of Mayo.
Like Smith, like those guys were...
Yeah, blacksmiths.
Blacksmiths, like, does his family just love mayonnaise?
Maybe. That could have been...
Your name's Mayo.
They invented it. I don't know. There's probably some etymology of that it was true. Something else further down the line. I don't know.
I don't have time for that.
Mayo Clinic definition?
So they have a temporary inability to move or speak while falling asleep or upon waking.
The Mayos?
This is the Mayos. Sleep paralysis most often occurs in people who have narcolepsy or sleep apnea, but it can affect anyone.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which is interesting. And actually we can get into that. Episodes involve not being able to speak or move while falling asleep or upon waking. This usually lasts 1 or 2 minutes and is often frightening. The main treatment is improved sleep habits, sleep hygiene, including going to bed at the same time every night, ensuring a comfortable sleep environment, free of distractions, and avoiding caffeine before sleeping. Mm. Oh, no.
No, so we got time.
That's their kind of medical view of it. But what's interesting about sleep paralysis, because it's been around for a very, 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 very long time.
It's not something you can buy.
Right. You can't just pick it up at the
store. It's been recorded for a long time, right? Is that what you mean?
Like people have been experiencing it.
Yeah. They invented it a long time ago.
I think it was like first recorded in like the 1600s, though.
Oh, okay.
But other cultures had talked about it.
Yeah, that
like
makes
an
sense.
Actual case of it.
Right. Studied case.
Yeah. And before that, and honestly, until I guess fairly recently, it's always just been this is a form of nightmare that's caused by a demon, a ghost, a monster, some mythological being, some demonic being. And until recently, they're like, oh no, it's just a medical thing. But they're like, okay, but how does it work? They're like, don't know.
Yeah, that's the, yeah, and that's like, I guess we didn't really say this specifically when we've talked about this before, but
yeah,
people are really quick to say it's demonic.
Yeah.
But like...
Well, so what I will say... I'm like,
not everything's a demon?
Correct. I don't think everything is.
Like, not every evil spiritual thing is a demon?
Yeah.
But every demon is a evil spiritual thing?
Yeah. And so for the materialists listening and or watching...
I think that's...
They might be yelling at at me by now because okay. There is like a scientific medical...
They shouldn't watch this podcast.
No, you shouldn't. you're already gonna get yourself mad. Just rage bait for them. Yeah.
I do feel like maybe that's what, like when we talked about post-postmodernism.
Yeah.
We might just be post-materialism. You know what I mean?
Maybe that's our movement.
Yeah, like
that's our merch.
Post-materialism.
Post-materialist.
Yeah.
And I think we're kind of moving out of that.
Yeah, for sure.
As a culture, we're moving heavy. I mean, yeah.
Well, a lot more people are having experiences like this.
Yeah.
Where their first explanation is that it's something spiritual.
Yeah.
Even if they're not spiritual.
And people just have an understanding like, yeah, we can't explain it, everything, because not everything can be explained.
Right.
Using our physical, or at least our understanding of the physical right now.
Right.
But yeah, so what I will say, the other explanation I've heard as far as like why this happens medically is it's like a glitch that happens in our body. So it's between, like, I think it's after a REM cycle. So it's kind of like your body glitches awake, but you're still in like this weird cycle. So your body has like a, because your body naturally has like a paralysis while you're sleeping.
Yeah, yeah.
To keep you from acting out and like moving.
Yeah,
that's
in your
where
dreams.
Sleepwalking is like a glitch that can happen where that isn't, that whatever chemical that is doesn't get released.
Right.
And so you sleepwalk.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it does have to do with bad sleep hygiene. I think that is a role that's played into a lot of these things.
Is that a thing, sleep hygiene?
That's what they called it. Basically, like good sleep habits.
Okay.
Is all it is.
I think of being clean when I think of hygiene.
Yeah.
Clean sleep. I guess clean. That makes sense,
what's
though.
Your food hygiene?
Like? Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think that that does play a big role, and I'll get to that in a minute, and you might even see where I'm going with this. Maybe.
We have like five or six things on the table.
It's so true. But yeah, so basically that definition is saying like you're caught in the middle of a cycle where your body's still paralyzed, but your mind is like technically awake.
Right.
And so you might see hallucinations.
Yeah.
Like these shadowy sleep paralysis demons. I'm just going to toss that out.
Well, so that's like...
Because of your REM. So it's like,
yeah.
That's kind of what their explanation, I don't think it explains it, personally.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because, like, the medical side of it.
Yeah.
So, like, I used to think REM sleep was, like, R-I-M.
REM. REM.
I used to think it was, like, that was the sleep when you were the most, like, you were the closest to waking up.
Oh.
But it's not. It's deep sleep.
Yeah, so, like,
rapid eye movement.
Yeah.
So it's R-E-M.
Yes.
Hence the band name.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, that's the, like, rapid eye movement. It's the deepest form of sleep. So it's waking up. It's like your physical consciousness waking up.
Yeah.
While your spiritual or soul consciousness is still asleep.
Yeah.
Or still dreaming, I guess. But your physical body. Like, so that's the weird thing is, like, yeah. That's something that I don't really know is, like... And maybe we were talking a little bit before this about this, but like, it always seems like when you're thinking, it seems like you're having a conversation in your head.
Yeah.
And if you're having...
Apparently not everybody has that.
Oh, have we talked about that before?
I don't think so, but I've had conversations about that with other people. Not everyone like has a narrator in their head.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
I actually think I know somebody who's like that.
I know one person like that, and it still confuses me.
Yeah. It's hard to understand deeply personal perspectives that are different.
Yeah, true.
Because you can never really, like, unless you just say some random thing like, hey, when you think, are you talking to yourself? Which sounds insane, but like...
That's why everyone needs a friend like me who just asks the most unhinged questions.
Yes. Everyone needs a Paul. So we were talking about like, so REM sleep.
Yeah.
So there's that weird thing when like, it's almost like, who am I communicating with?
Yeah.
Like, yes, I did it. Like, who am I talking to?
Mm.
And I think there is an element to that where you are, like, I think that there's a pray without ceasing concept.
Yeah.
Of like, and I'm using that as the phrase, like, obviously that's a scripture and an urging from Paul to not actually move your mouth and say things to the Lord over and over again, but have your attention and affection always towards the Lord is what I think that means. But that's like not turning your affection and your attention to other things, but keeping it always on the Lord.
Yeah.
Anyways, when I think about that separation, I think like I was playing golf by myself the other day and I like hit a really clean shot and I was like, yes, we're doing this. I'm like, who am I talking to? And then I thought, you know what, Lord, it's me and you are playing golf today. And I turned that like consciousness conversation into like, I'm just going to actively like play golf with the Lord today.
Yeah.
Which was like that sounds insane. I realize that. But it also, I think to like Christians, praying Christians, I don't think that sounds that weird. And I think a lot of people do stuff like that. But that's one of those things where I was like,
yeah,
I actually had to choose to not talk to myself.
Yeah.
But to what I was saying out loud or in my mind, and sometimes out loud, because on a golf course, there's no one around for a while. So like, I was saying it to the Lord. I was just like, well, all right, well, you're just going to play golf with me today. Like, you're already here, so might as well talk to you instead of myself, you know? Yeah,
that's so true.
But why, how did I then have to choose to not talk to myself?
Yeah.
Which is that's a weird thing. Anyways, basically what I'm saying is it seems like there's a consciousness that exists more attached to our physical nature than to our spiritual nature.
Yeah.
And it's like those two things are at war with each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know what that is. Like I know the scripture referencing the flesh, but there's not a whole lot about the flesh having some type of mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like if the flesh and the mind are connected, potentially separate from the spirit or the soul.
Yeah.
Which there is a differentiation in all of those things,
go for it.
No, I'm just not sure if the mind and the flesh are one thing. It would make sense.
Yeah.
And then my spiritual nature is speaking then to my mind.
Yeah.
Who controls my flesh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like consciousness. So like my spirit that lives in my body use like Sunday school language.
Yeah.
My spirit that lives in my body, the true version of myself, is speaking to the brain or the mind that controls my physical body.
Yeah.
So it could be my spirit having a conversation with my mind, which are potentially two different things. And there is that differentiation in scripture, but it is interesting to think about your mind as the essentially the consciousness or the non-physical of your physical.
Yeah.
Unless it is actually physical. And I think that's what science is trying to figure out right now.
I think that's it. And we're finding that is that separation. Because that's like, and it's funny. It's like similar thoughts in different terms. So maybe it helps. I don't know. Because I've thought about that as like, I guess we look at it as like, well, God formed man out of the dust. So it's like our bodies are just like dust creatures. Like that's what we are.
Right,
But we're animated from his spirit.
Yeah.
From the breath that came from him. So it's like, there are like two dueling natures inside of us, two dueling wills.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we think of it as two things.
Yeah.
Like spirit and body.
Yeah.
But the mind...
Yeah.
Like there's a brain or an engine.
And that's
to
an extra thing. It's like maybe our flesh just has its own will, but the mind is separate from that.
Yeah. So it's almost like your mind. So when you're I keep wanting to say lucid dreaming, but that's a whole different thing. But when you are,
I think they're in the same similar realm, but it is different. Yeah.
Yeah, same conversation, but
yeah
but so sleep paralysis though would be your mind still asleep.
Yeah.
So it would be like the engine turned on, but it was outside of the car.
Right.
So it was like like your mind turns on. And then so then at that point, that's the thing that's confusing is like, so on the spiritual side of it, during sleep paralysis, does your mind wake up but can't communicate to your spirit? Or does your mind and your spirit are they awake in communication with each other while your physical body is actually paralyzed in order for your dream state not to interact with the physical state?
Yeah. So I guess I can say for me and stories that I've read from pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard anything that says something different than this, but it's like, it's a weird thing. And I'll add some of my own language to this as well.
Yeah, you have a story, right?
I got tons of them, unfortunately. Okay. Unfortunately.
Okay.
But yeah, so I think it is that weird thing where it's like your body is paralyzed. So it's like I can't move my body even though I want it to. Like I try, but it can't happen. I want to speak, but I can't speak.
Yeah.
But there are thoughts and there's ideas happening. And what's weird about it, and I think this is the one thing that confuses me a little bit, is... So for me, I get different perspectives sometimes when I did experience it, because I don't anymore. And so there's times where it's like wherever my body is facing, wherever my eyes are facing, that's what I see. Like that's the only thing I see, which is right here. But then there's other times where I get POVs from other views.
Oh, interesting.
Sometimes outside of my body, like staring down at me. Sometimes from other things in the room that are looking at me. And actually I read stories, this one story from this girl who actually had, a POV view of something walking toward her.
Yeah. I've heard
from
that.
Like a hallway. So it's like, and I think that's where
it's terrifying.
It is terrifying. And I think that's where it's like, it gets a little confusing.
Yeah.
But that's ultimately, it's like, this is part of the game, part of the deception that's happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a real event that's going on. Like
that's a really
you're
good
actually
anchor.
Experiencing this, but
yeah.
There's also a deception that's happening to make you feel something else.
Right. Yeah, and it's weird to me, like going back to what I was saying about church leaders or spiritual leaders, and those are potentially two different things. A church leader can like have a spiritual worldview, but a spiritual leader may not be a church leader.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
like... It goes back to that idea of like, now I don't remember what I was going to say. I just rabbit trailed myself. I've been rabbit trailed.
Oh, no.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about was like hearing the, sorry, you were saying that it actually, that those things actually did happen.
Yeah.
And like explaining that. I think the reason that I'm getting tripped up is because there's a story of, like, in the Bigfoot space,
there's
a story of, you said deception. Okay,
yeah.
I'll get back to that.
Okay.
There's a story in the Bigfoot space that's like, I think it was a guy was in a cabin and was, I think, sitting on the porch, and all of a sudden he wasn't asleep. He was fully awake.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden his POV...
Yeah.
So like what his mind was seeing, I think that's important to say.
Yes.
So like your eye, your pupils are actually like, your pupils are actually holes to your brain, which is very weird to think about.
It's very weird.
But like, I think that's one of those things is like, so this guy, I think he was on the porch in his cabin or he was looking out the window in his cabin.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden his POV switched.
Yep.
And his mind saw the cabin from the woods.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden he was seeing someone else's POV, and that's where like people are like, well, Bigfoot is a spiritual entity, And people go so far as to say, like, Bigfoot are potentially remnants of Watchers and all that stuff, which is just a really fun conversation.
And stuff like that is, like, it is a fun conversation.
Yeah. It is. But when it comes to, like, sleep paralysis and switching POVs like that, like, there is... Those are the things that, like, people have a really hard time talking about.
Yeah.
Because I think it's hard to... I think there's also a part of you that, like, doesn't want to admit that that experience happened.
Right.
And part of you that doesn't want to, like... Because it's in a dream state, it's easy to be like, wasn't real. Until it happens over and over again.
Yeah.
Right?
And you're like, okay. Like,
right.
Yeah.
What's causing this?
Right.
But I do think the more that Christians have a spiritual worldview and more of a spiritual reading of scripture, I think as we do that and less material, then things like that, like interactions between like from the spiritual realm into the physical realm, once we really start to view the world that way, which I think is a biblical view, the interaction of those two things, I think that we should look at those as real experiences,
right?
And how do I navigate those experiences?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think part of it on the other side is let's try to ground it a little bit.
Right.
And part of that's looking at what's happening, like what's going on.
Yeah.
And then also, like, how does that relate to scripture, or how does it relate to this worldview that we have biblically?
Yeah.
And so I think that's the interesting thing. I think oftentimes the sleep paralysis stories we read are the scariest ones, which is where people see things.
Yeah.
But there are, and I'll say for myself, I've had plenty of times where I've gone into sleep paralysis, but I don't see anything.
Okay.
But I'm in that space.
I think that that's my only experience.
Okay.
Is I've had moments where I have, like, middle of the night type of thing.
Yeah.
I think, like, witching hour is what they say, right?
Yeah.
Like, 3 a.m. is kind of
usually every time it happens.
Yeah. There's also this weird thing about, like, maybe I don't want to say that. All right, I'll jump past it.
It might take us on a whole other tangent.
Yeah. Well, so, like, those are the experiences that I've had where I've, my mind wakes up, and I guess my eyes are open.
Yeah.
That's something that I don't know is true or not. And I'll be seeing my room, but I'm actually seeing it from where my head is turned. That's what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not fully there. And then once I am there and I'm physically, like, everything's re-engaged again.
Yeah.
Then I either don't sleep the rest of the night
or
it takes an hour and a half to go back to sleep.
Yeah.
But the whole time I'm terrified.
Yeah.
Why would I be terrified?
It's weird, right?
Yeah, even if I don't see anything, it's still terrifying.
And I think a lot of that is, and this is my own view, I've never heard anyone say it quite like this, but I don't know a lot of people that speak from it biblically. I haven't heard very many people.
Okay.
So most people that do talk about this are New Age people.
Right.
Or Redditors that have just... going through it, and they want to talk to the Hat Man.
Let me.
I threw that out there.
Yeah, you did. Well, let me say something about that, because I think that's really important. So, like, grounding it biblically, but also this goes back to, I feel like, a lot of conversations that we've had, which is the New Age movement is kind of underground, like, meaning, like, like, the teachers of it or the label of it is kind of underground. But the surface level of it is widespread.
It's everywhere.
So, like, it, like, throughout movies, throughout culture, throughout like everything, the New Age concepts are just right there. And the weird thing about them, and the reason why I think they're more prevalent now, is because we're moving away from, particularly in America, the West has kind of been post-Christian for a while.
Yeah.
But in America, we're kind of moving out of that, like, 50s. Like, everyone is culturally a Christian.
Right.
And moving into a post-Christian era, really, and culturally at least.
Yeah.
Where it's not normal that people go to church. It's not normal that people are, like, believe in Jesus. Like, that's uncommon. That's more uncommon now.
Yeah.
As far as, like, just, like, cultural. Like, if I was just gonna, like, if I met someone
Yeah.
I would almost assume now that they don't go to church.
Right.
Which that's unusual. You know, I feel like from what wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Being true. That, you know, and depending on where you are, there's certain parts of the country too that's like this, like probably nobody in here goes to church.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas where we live, a lot of people probably do still.
I just like even here, that was a kind of a funny little culture shock. I didn't actually recognize at first was more people go to church here than they did where I grew up.
Okay.
And so in the north where I grew up in Ohio, it's like, yeah, it's like it might be 50-50.
True.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But it's not a question you ask.
Right.
It's like it doesn't, if it comes up, it's like, oh, whoa, you go to church too? That's cool.
Yeah.
And then you talk about it.
Right.
But here it's like the second question. It's like, hey, how are you? What church do you go to?
Right.
And for me, it's like, whoa, that's crazy. Just assume that somebody does.
Yeah. And because we're still like in what would be considered the Bible Belt.
Right.
It's more prevalent that way. But what I was going to say is like, I think that that's one of the things that, and really, I think the reason why you have this podcast and want to have these conversations is to just say like, hey, there are things that look like they're Christian.
Yeah.
But they're not, like they're false teaching is what they are.
Absolutely.
They're slightly Christian.
Yeah.
But they're not all Christian.
Right.
So it's like they're not, meaning like they have some truth in them that's reminiscent of biblical language.
Yeah.
But the whole thing's not true, and that makes the whole thing false.
Yeah.
So like that's the scary thing is like you're starting to get more new age and spiritual language on the surface. And I think some people are excited, like, oh yeah, like, you know, there's more Christian themes.
Mm.
No, it's actually new age themes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's even obviously wrapped in Christian labels. Yeah. And you're like, this Christian show is actually just new age.
Yeah.
And that's like,
it happens a lot.
And
it
does.
It's one of those, like the way I think about it is like, it's this knife of deception.
Yeah.
That's like, it sneaks its way in and you're welcome it. Cause it's like, well, it's in a way that it looks familiar to me. That it looks right.
Yeah.
And then it twists, but you're already, the knife's already in you.
Right.
And so you're like, you don't even notice that it twisted.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that was just important to say is like,
yeah.
I think that there's a lot of things like that that we have to pay attention to. But yeah, go ahead, because I think there's so a lot of this is based off of vision and like what you see.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's a lot that comes to that. Have we talked about the invention of the television?
We haven't.
Okay, finish what you're talking about, and then we'll.
You've piqued my interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to say with that, just kind of adding like a more definition to it in a sense of an experiential definition to sleep paralysis is like, it is this weird thing where for me, this is the way that I explain it oftentimes is how it feels is like, I know that I'm not in my body or I'm not completely in my body.
Okay.
And I think that's a weird thing about it. And that's why I kind of put it in this like astral projection realm,
yeah, which would be more like lucid dreaming,
yeah, yeah,
or I guess not. I guess that's a third thing.
I guess it is technically another thing. I think astral projection in and of itself is more deliberate, like it's something that you try to do.
I wonder if that's what Peter Pan was based on.
Oh, that's
I actually hadn't thought about that.
I haven't either.
That like maybe the kids were actually asleep, and when Peter Pan came,
that's kind of interesting.
They didn't actually wake up and go with him.
They were actually in the dream.
They were in a dream and they were lucid dreaming.
That's kind of fascinating.
It would probably make more sense, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the place that they go to is a place that doesn't exist in the physical space.
That's actually really interesting.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about Peter Pan.
There's a lot to go on with that.
Yeah.
There's a ton of imagery in that.
I think Peter Pan potentially was actually the villain.
I think he was.
Yeah.
100% I think he was.
That's a different episode.
Yeah, it's true. That's literary.
But he could have been the spiritual entity
kind of yeah.
that they were meeting in their lucid dream.
Yeah. Well, so let's go.
That's a whole different.
But anyway, I was saying, so to bring it with this is cuz for me when I and there's different spots that I find myself oftentimes when I've had sleep paralysis and sometimes where I'm fully outside of my body.
Yeah.
And I can feel myself like I've got to work to get into my body again.
Wow.
And other times where it's like I'm like halfway, or sometimes I'm still in it, and it just takes a little bit to get out of sleep paralysis.
That's wild.
I think
that is more lucid dreaming, though, isn't it? No, it's more astral projection.
It's more astral projection, and I think it's like, I think, and I'm just making this up right now.
So lucid dreaming is like Inception.
When you know that you're inside of a dream.
Yeah, so you wake your consciousness begins to navigate your dream state.
Yes.
It's like that idea of
I think if you wanted to look at it in degrees, I would put it as like lucid dreaming is like step one.
Okay.
And then it kind of works its way up.
Not paralysis first?
No.
Okay.
And I think I think you're still within your own mind, within your own body, in lucid dreaming.
Gotcha.
That I might be wrong about that. That's just how I've thought about it.
Yeah.
And then you start to escape your mind. You start to escape your body, I mean.
Gotcha. But sleep paralysis seems like a quick temporary thing, like as you're ending whatever it was.
Yeah, and usually because it's so scary, you're trying your hardest to get out of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, and then astral projection is basically
you've left your body.
It's not dreaming.
Mm-mm.
Astral projection is your spirit.
Yeah.
Is physically or in the spiritual plane.
Yeah.
Traveling around.
Yeah.
In the physical space.
To use like familiar language, you've become like a disembodied spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. You've disembodied yourself.
Yeah. At least that's the understanding of it.
Yeah.
Like I don't really know that much about it. To be completely honest, I don't even know if it's a real thing.
Mm.
Like, I don't know if it's just a version of dreaming or not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Because I could totally see that it's really just dreaming.
Yeah.
That you're just like Peter Pan. Yeah. You're just coming out of your bed, and your dream that night was that you're floating around physical spaces.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I mean?
And I'll say for me, like, I've never done astral projection, but I've heard and talked to people that have. It's a weird thing.
Well, it's kind of a practice, though, right?
It is.
I think that's where, like, that's why people talk about it that way. That and astral projection is something that you do, versus something that happens to you.
Yes.
Because lucid dreaming can happen to you,
right?
But I guess you can practice it.
I people do practice lucid dreaming as well.
Yeah, that's not a good practice, by the way.
But I feel like none of these are good.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it, though, because a lot of it, there are ways to influence it.
Right.
It's not like I just decide, like, I'm going to do it tonight. Yeah. You can try to do it tonight.
Sure.
And a lot of times, it comes, one, from bad sleep.
Yeah.
As far as, like, you're basically kind of tricking your body into this half awake, half asleep space.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like this weird, if you want to talk about like this weird thin veil, where it's like you have entered into like your spirit, but then like you're realizing it.
Yeah.
It's
like,
I'm not explaining it well, but it's like this weird in between.
Sure.
The other one is through drugs and alcohol, heavy usage of it. You can influence that spiritual, basically just like thinning that's separation between the two.
So that would be more ancient practice.
Yeah.
People do that now, though.
Mm-hmm. Like DMT or ayahuasca.
Yeah. 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 That's the, and I like that, you know, I've had those thoughts of like, man, it would like these type of, hallucinogenic.
Yeah.
Process. It's like, oh, it's like tapping in. Like, I wonder if that would open up my mind, and like, you know, you kind of go, and then it's like, no, the Bible says be sober minded.
Yeah.
And the reason it says that is because, okay, well, let's go back to astral projection.
Yeah.
If your spirit, what you're practicing is your spirit leaving your body, then your body now has no spirit in it.
Yeah.
And what type of spirit can drop into it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Typically not a good one.
Right. Yeah. So
Gabriel's
like,
not like, hey, let's go check this out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, angels are not disembodied.
Right.
So
that's also it.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, the only disembodied spirits we know of are
the demons.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is that side of it where it's like, nah, probably not. Probably don't go that way. Like, don't do anything that would put your mind in an altered state.
Yeah.
Intentionally.
Yeah.
Now, through prayer and meditation on the word, you could arguably call that an altered state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
But not in the same way as drug use.
Yeah.
In some ways, it would be an altered state of mind that's aligning,
mm-hmm.
not disjointed.
Yeah.
And I think people like Joe Rogan would talk about it as an alignment.
Right.
Which is a false teaching.
It is.
So it's that type of thing. It's like, it really, like he talks about it as like, it really makes you remember how small you are and all of that stuff. And it's like, yeah, or just like worship the God of the universe and you'll feel real
Real tiny. but it's like, and that's the weird, I think that's the one side of the deception. I love this word for it, which is idleness.
Idleness?
I-D-L-E.
Wait, say that again?
Idleness.
Idleness.
That's one. I think that's one of the biggest deceptions inside of it. And it's that pushing toward being idle.
Okay.
In
being an idol?
Being no, I not IDOL, IDLE, like when your car is stopped.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the biggest issues, and it's even with the ideas of like, oh, empty your mind or clear your head or you know stuff like that. It's like a lot of these things are leaning toward like you need to empty yourself of your body.
Yeah,
and it's like that's actually terrifying.
Yeah,
and when we look at especially the contrast, like what does the Bible say? It's like, well, so in a I guess a summary paraphrase of it's like, be busy with the lifestyle of being a Christian.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't say to be idle.
Right.
It says to be busy.
Yeah.
But to be busy in Christ.
Yeah.
Doing
good works.
That's that safeguard.
It is, yeah. Yeah, so like not busying yourself. Well, I guess really it would be, it's not like busying yourself with the things of this world.
Right.
But being busy
with the work of kingdom
work. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like, yeah, that's actually a really good point. But so like, that's where that line is like, well, lucid dreaming, astral projection,
sleep paralysis.
Yeah. But then, drugs.
Oh yeah.
Hallucinogenics.
Yeah.
So like, do these things bring about spiritual experiences? Yes.
I think, especially when people talk about shared experiences.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that for me is like, all right, it's pretty clear.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there is something that happens there's something that happens when people gather together to do something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it is important to just say like, that stuff is not something you should be practicing.
Right.
In some ways, it's divination.
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually, probably it's perfectly defined as divination.
You're trying to speak with spirits.
Yeah, which is
interact.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like discerning spirits.
Yeah.
Discerning, we shouldn't be going to the spirits.
Yeah.
To practice discerning them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think it's important with this too, because there are those that intentionally try it.
Yeah.
And then there's people like me. It's like, not all the time.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, I wasn't always intentionally trying to experience this.
Sure.
But it happened. And I think that's where some people might be, especially with sleep paralysis. A lot of people, it's like, this just kind of happened.
Yeah.
And so it's like, well, I'm not trying to do this. And it's like, okay, but are you, and I had asked myself this, like, are you living a lifestyle that invites this?
Right.
And I think that's a big thing, especially when we talk about demons. It's all about invitation. It's all about acceptance. Like you're accepting something. And so you have to ask yourself, especially as Christians, am I living a lifestyle that opens myself up, that accepts or invites this stuff to happen?
Right.
Because you shouldn't be surprised when it does then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you're opening yourself up to anything that's not the Lord, like I think about that. Like I think about, worship songs or praise songs.
Mm.
There's a lot of like prayer songs where I'm saying like, you can have my whole heart. Like I'm open. You know what I mean? There's a song called Open. Like there are songs that are like, hey, I'm open, Lord, come. And, but the problem is when we take the same language and we don't invite the Lord, but we just say, hey, I'm open to this, or I'm open to whatever. Like I think about a story about this guy who was with a friend of his who was like going into a house that had activity in it, like spiritual activity in it. And he was, his story was like kind of terrifying, but he was like, I should have never, he's like, I remember going in there and being like, I want to experience something. Like, I'm just open to it. And he, like, looking back on it, he was like, I should have never said that. Like, what a terrible thing, because what you open yourself up to, like, when you open yourself up, something will come.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of stuff that wants to come.
Yeah. And it doesn't want to do good things.
No. No, it wants to use you.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. So, like, yeah, I don't know. So,
I mean, to use the Enochian language,
okay,
as far as this is like, well, what are they trying to do? Well, it says that they have the desires of the flesh, but no body to fulfill them.
Right.
So they want to use you to fulfill their desires.
Yeah. So, TV. And then you need to tell an experience.
Okay, I will.
So, the invention of the TV. So, the TV was invented. It was, like, with all inventions, things are created over time. Somebody has this type of breakthrough, this type of breakthrough, and then eventually it becomes something completely different. But even the television, like, the invention of that led to other inventions. So, like, one of the things that's interesting about, like, the guy who's who's historically credited to inventing the television was an SS soldier. He was a Nazi soldier.
Really?
Yeah. And he was tasked with, like, they were big on radio broadcast and then television broadcast for the sake of getting the message to all the Germans. So, like, propaganda was a big thing. So one of the things that, so the guy that was, that's credited historically, and there was potentially an inventor before him that was non-Nazi, but there's probably a bunch of stuff like that, that, like, they just grabbed something and took the next step, you know? But the guy who's credited, he said, he called the TV a portal to the spiritual world. And that's how he viewed it. Wow. That's what he was. And in Nazi Germany, every household had to have a TV.
Wow.
Because that's how Hitler would broadcast.
Wow.
So he would broadcast into the homes of Germans in order to propagandize them.
No way.
Yeah. And the guy who invented it in mass quantity called it a portal to the spiritual world.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Which it makes sense, like, if you look at it and you're like, well, how is this even possible? Like, if you've never seen it before, all of a sudden you're seeing images from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like, that is pretty wild.
That is wild.
So, like, a radio broadcast that's coming in.
Wow.
I think he was seeing it as, like, it's moving through dimensions.
Yeah.
So, which would make sense as a portal, just like simple language.
Yeah.
It's like a portal to, through one dimension into for us next. To view our dimension in another space physically.
Almost instantaneously.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, that concept is, like,
that's fascinating.
Yeah. So, like, that's why it is important, like, what you watch.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
in some ways anything is a portal for things to enter your life. So like your phone can be that. Your like your TV can be that, your radio and your car can be that. A person can be that.
Yeah.
It can be a person can be a portal for things to enter your life.
Yeah.
In a negative way. So like I think using that not as like Sonic throws a ring and a portal opens.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like going back to the gaming references, but it's that type of thing. It's like anything that information is coming through to you potentially is a portal that you're opening yourself up to. So tell us your story.
I have an unhinged theory to tell you.
Okay.
But it's just the headline. I'm not going to get into it. I believe that the Nazis won World War II. So moving on. We'll save that for another time. But it's crazy. Yeah, the more I hear, I'm just like, holy cow. There's no way we won that war.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking at their steering wheels in shock now. I'll tell this one story.
Here, let me mention this.
Okay,
sorry.
Yeah. Are you good?
Yeah, I wasn't just texting, but
he wasn't just. It was also something else.
Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day.
Yeah.
And having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me. And now Paul's just asking for something for himself. Mm. But
that's huge.
As he can do, because he's good. Sending letters. I think that's the simple gospel framing.
Yeah.
Is basically in that, stay in prayer.
Yeah.
Stay with your attention on the Lord, so that as you go through things, never turn your mind and your thoughts to other things.
Yeah.
But always keeping your mind on the Lord, so that you can have the full armor on you in order to extinguish the darts of the enemy.
Yeah.
So in some ways, lucid dreaming or astral projection or even putting yourself in an altered state.
Yeah.
It's you're taking off the armor of Christ.
Yeah.
You're taking off the armor of God that can extinguish the darts of the enemy, which means that the darts are not extinguished. They go in you.
Yeah.
So if you take off the armor of God and you open yourself up to other things, then the darts of the enemy will come.
Yeah.
And they will not be deflected.
Right.
So I think that's the simple gospel, you know, of that, of this concept.
Yeah, that's huge.
Or of this. Yeah. So tell us a story.
Actually, I want to add to that real quick too,
because
I think this is an important thing to say. Then leading into this story, actually, is that it's common. I hear a lot of people, even on Reddit, when they talk about their sleep paralysis, regardless of their state as a Christian, their status of Christianity.
Yeah, yeah.
They say that, like, oh, oftentimes to get out of it, if you call in the name of Jesus,
oh yeah,
it'll pull you from it. And I can say that's true, because that's helped me plenty of times.
Okay.
But here's what's interesting about it is that there is power and there's authority in the name of Christ.
Yes.
But sometimes there are people that call the name of Jesus and they get laughed at from these shadowy figures.
Interesting.
And it doesn't work.
Okay.
And it's like, okay, well, why is that?
Right.
And actually, I think we have a gateway into this. And it's
a portal.
We have a portal into this. We have an insight into this, and it's in the book of Acts.
Okay.
And it's when the men who are doing works and trying to exorcise a demon in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And the demon says, I know Peter and I know Paul,
but I don't know you.
I don't know who you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they get beat up.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what happened there?
Yeah.
Well, there is power in the name of Jesus for those that are in Christ.
Right.
Who can call on that authority.
Yeah.
Because I'm not calling on my own authority, but Christ is in me, and I can call him.
Yes.
But it's important for me to say this, even with that, it's like, but you have to be in Christ.
Right.
The name of Jesus isn't a charm. It's not a talisman. That's something that
also in the book of Acts.
Yeah, it's not something I can just use to, like, oh, I'm safe now.
The sorcerer wanted to buy.
Yeah.
The spells.
Yeah.
Of the disciples.
Yeah.
And he was told, this is not for sale.
Yeah, it's not how it works.
Yeah, it's not how it works.
And I think that's, I had this insight recently, even in the way Jesus does his miracles.
Yeah.
Like, he never does the same thing twice.
Right.
It's always unique. It's always distinct. It's always different.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why does he do that? And I think, in part, one of the reasons is to show that it's not alchemy. It's not magic. It's not divination. It's not something that he can just, oh, if you follow this weird formula, like, it works. Like, no, he's saying,
that's a really good point.
This power is from me.
Right.
And I choose to use it how I choose to use
he's
it.
He's the source.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so even when we're going through these experiences, it's like we need to first, why are we going through these experiences? Well, it means we're living a lifestyle that invites these situations to occur.
Yeah.
And just saying Jesus' name won't always help you because it's not a charm. It's not a safeguard.
Well, yeah. So to tie that back, because of what you just piggybacked off of.
Yeah.
The Ephesians 6:12. If you take the armor off.
Yeah.
And you put it down.
Yeah.
Then when you try to grab your sword, it's not there.
No, you put it away.
You put it away.
Yeah.
So you, and that was like, that's the fallacy of the word of faith, the authority of the believer.
Yeah.
The authority of the believer is that they, that the believer has the name of Jesus to use.
Yeah.
The authority is not in the believer itself.
Correct.
Him or herself. So like if I take off the armor of God.
Yeah.
And then a dart of the enemy comes at me. I can't say the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And it do anything. Now, in his infinite grace and wisdom, maybe something will happen.
Yeah.
But I can't count on it. Mm-mm. Because I've taken off the armor that he's given me.
That's huge.
And so because of that, yeah, that's a big thing. And I think something else that's like you're trying to get at also like the like lifestyle and different things like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to know, like, I think this is where I think some Christians can get to a place where they're like, well, they even say like, you know, I read my Bible, I go to church, I pray, I tithe, like there are things that you could be like, I do this, 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 and this. But God would say, like, there's a lot of places where it's like, you do these things, but your heart is far from me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do these things, but I'll say I never knew you.
Yeah.
And why is that? It's because your heart is turned away. It's because you do the actions without the relationship to Jesus and the giving over. So like you can do those things, but still practice divination.
Right.
But still practice things of this world, or still open yourself up to.
By doing those things, that's what you're practicing.
Yeah.
If you're doing it just for the sake of doing it.
Right.
It's like,
there's also the weird, like, so this is what I was going to get at, is like with alcohol. So like with alcohol, there's a weird thing, like alcohol is, and I know we're on tipsy theology, but alcohol specifically has sugar in it.
Yeah.
And what happens is like, if you pass out having consumed a lot of alcohol, or you have alcohol and go to sleep and you sleep having consumed a certain amount of alcohol, what happens is the alcohol itself wears off and the sugar kicks in.
Really?
So you get a sugar spike.
Oh,
so that's why like that's why people just either they're passed out or they go to sleep having had a certain amount of alcohol, and then at like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. Usually it's a specific, like usually everybody is like, there's a certain time.
Yeah.
What happens is your sugar spikes.
Oh, wow.
The alcohol wears off, your sugar spikes, and it wakes you up. Oh. And that can create that like jump out of REM sleep.
Yeah. To pull you into this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's actually like a sugar spike.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's why it's not good for your sleep.
Yeah.
To drink before you fall asleep. So like if somebody is going to consume alcohol in any form, if they drink too much, like if you have a glass of wine, it's not really going to affect you like that. But if you have one drink, but if you have many drinks to help yourself fall asleep, at some point the alcohol is going to wear off in the night, your sugar is going to spike and you're going to wake up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that can create really weird situations. It opens yourself up to, like, one, while you're drinking, if you're pushing into excess, then it can open yourself up to awake stupid things.
Yeah, true.
But then when it wears off and you're, like, alone, your sugar spikes, now you're not sober-minded.
Yeah.
And you've opened yourself up to potentially spiritual things.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. That were let in during that whole time period.
Interesting.
So it depends on. And you kind of get into like where you worship type of thing too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there are forms of that. Like, that's, I feel like that's one of the things that's helped me through the years is thinking about things of, thinking about things like altars.
Mm.
Like, thinking about a, like, if, am I going and worshiping at the altar of a bar? You know what I mean?
Right.
Could a bar be my altar of worship?
Absolutely.
And then there's other things like that. Like, yeah, like even pornography can be like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, that's an altar of worship.
Yeah.
That you're, for a certain amount of time, you're giving yourself over, and mm-hmm. you're giving a sacrifice at an altar of worship.
Yeah.
Just the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know, the wrong spirit. So like all of those things, like that's kind of helped me over time as I've matured is like
me as well.
Thinking about those things as altars of worship.
Yeah.
Where you're spending time at altars of worship of other spirits and other yeah. gods.
Yeah.
That are very real.
Yeah.
I think that that's what's helped me the most.
I think that's the other thing. It's like, this is actually going to something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a spirit over this act.
Yeah.
And yeah. it is not for me.
Right.
It is against me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's so helpful to, at least for me, it's been very helpful to recognize in that way of like, what am I doing? What's the significance of this?
Sure.
And that nothing is insignificant.
Well, and like all the way through the scriptures, like one of the biggest things that the Lord is against is spiritual acts.
Yeah.
Sorry, sexual acts.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
To other gods. That's a huge thing all the way through scripture. And so like modern day version of that is big time pornography.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that, so like, that's a tough thing. And so if you're like, yeah, I, you know, I tithe, I go to church, I do all these things, but I still deal with this on a regular basis, or, and I think that it's not affecting me.
Yeah,
it is.
It is affecting you.
You're turning your attention and your affection towards another god.
Yeah.
And
I mean, we can see that even with going back to Solomon.
Right.
In his temple, it's like, well, he had depictions. You brought it up, and I actually verified it, so I can nice. Confirm. He did have giant
cherubim
yeah. in his, toward the throne in like the holiest of places.
Yeah.
And then leading to that, they were cherubim engraved on the walls as well.
Yeah.
But there was something that he changed over time, which he added lions leading up to his throne. And this was kind of, a lot of people say this is the first like nod or wink that he had of, I'm actually playing with the idea of worshiping other gods.
Yeah.
But it's a small deception that seems it's insignificant, but it was actually hugely significant.
Right.
And it led him to not worshiping Yahweh anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, and the destruction of everything that
yeah.
he had the ability to build.
Yeah.
But
before we, too much more time goes by too.
Yeah.
Because I know we're like out.
Yeah.
But I do want to say, and I'm gonna build it up quickly now.
okay.
Which is to tell the story that I want to tell.
Yeah.
Because it also ends positively, I think, and that's why it's important.
Yeah, wrap it up with a personal story.
But we kind of have to talk about the Hat Man a little bit.
Okay.
And so I'll do it quickly, as best I can.
Okay.
Are you familiar with him?
So I've heard a story about this, and I mentioned a little bit of
okay.
to you, but it is horrifying.
Yes.
But go ahead.
So he's one of the most predominant sleep paralysis demons that people talk about. And what's weird about him
is, now, you just called him a sleep paralysis demon.
Yes.
That's a very loaded statement.
It's true.
So, like, this is one of the things that, like, if you've heard, let's just go with the most popular right now. If you've heard Joe Rogan talk about ayahuasca, or you've heard him talk about taking mushrooms, which is something that I think he does all the time.
Yeah.
I feel like Joe Rogan, honestly, is probably one of the biggest maybe I say it like this. I think Joe Rogan is the priest, the high priest of the New Age movement.
Unintentionally, yeah.
I think he is.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, we have to be careful
yeah.
about that. Because
yeah, we do.
Honestly, he seems like such a fun guy to hang out with.
Absolutely.
Like, he seems like he would be so fun to hang out with. But also, like, really goes hard, and it yeah. would probably be terrifying.
Yeah.
At the same time, because of all the stuff that he's also into. So, but
yeah.
but you yeah. just mentioned the Hat Man as a common sleep paralysis demon.
Yeah.
So I think one of the things to mention is like when a guy like Joe Rogan and people come on. I feel like he doesn't mention it as much, but people bring it up, which is why I say like he's like a high priest of the New Age movement.
Yeah.
Is because he kind of like in wisdom allows other people to draw it out. He's not actually the one saying it.
Yeah.
He kind of pulls it out of people.
Yeah.
In this real weird, interesting way. Anyways, but there's a lot of these experiences that people have on hallucinogenic drugs or on mind-altering practices.
Yeah.
Where they see similar entities.
Yeah.
So, and that, to be completely honest, that in and of itself is a clear nod to scriptural references of there being spirit beings that we are fighting against that are over certain spaces and other gods that are ruling in certain ways, that it's like, it's not just like a hallucination, but it's actually a spiritual entity.
Yeah, absolutely.
That exists in a space. So it's not in the individual's mind. It's that they are going into a spiritual state or a spiritual dimension that is opening themselves up to the gatekeeper of that space.
Yeah.
So like when you talk about that, it's like, yeah, it seems like if everybody's seeing the same thing, it probably is actually just a demon.
Yeah. And it is one thing that, especially this guy in particular, transcends cultures as well, which I think is important to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's depictions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there might be some variations in exactly what he looks like.
No face, though, right?
Correct. The only thing that people say that they see are eyes.
Okay.
And it's usually the two most common are bright red eyes or two like pools of darkness.
Yeah.
Which in that alone is like, I think that's what's hard to explain sometimes to people that haven't experienced it.
Right.
It's like how terrifying this is. And it's like you're looking at a shadow being, but you can see their eyes and their eyes are darkness.
Yeah.
Like, well, how does that make sense? It's like it really doesn't make sense.
Yeah, because you're seeing darker blackness in black.
Yeah. It's kind of like these black holes that suck you in.
Right.
And it's like it's just a void. And it's like it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's less of what you're seeing and more of energy placement.
Yes. Yeah. That's
it's a good like way to put it. It's being like there's more energy happening in this space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so most of the time, and this is where I think it gets scary, because there are people that, because most of the time he'll stand in the corner and just watch you.
Yeah.
He doesn't say anything most of the time. He'll just kind of watch you from an area. And then there are other shadow beings people will see sometimes that might actually touch you or like come over near you.
Yeah.
But he just kind of just stands there.
Yeah.
And there are people that are like, oh, I want to interact with them. It's like, no, you don't.
No, yeah.
And that's the danger of like, now you're practicing it. Now this deception has now worked on you.
Right.
And that's where it's like, we need to be careful. Even the name Hatman actually came from him. It wasn't something that people gave, but he tells people like, my name is Hatman.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's terrifying.
Right.
Because he will whisper into people's ears.
Yeah.
And I'll say that's probably what I've experienced more than anything is the whispering.
Yeah.
But I have actually had a conversation with them before.
That's crazy.
And that's where I'm kind of going into the story.
Let me say this too really quick.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about this earlier, and I think it's important to realize. We've talked in an earlier episode about the idea that like humans are not that creative.
Yeah.
I mean, they are, but I think they create alongside. So, yeah. Like, I think we create alongside God, but then also we create, humans in general have created alongside other gods.
Yeah.
And alongside things that they've experienced.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why, like, sometimes we'd be like, movies are not, like, movies are fine. Well, the guy who invented mass production of the TV called it a portal of the spiritual world.
Yeah.
Maybe not fine. And the stuff that you see in movies, like horror movies, like all of these things, a lot of them are things that people have actually encountered.
Yeah.
So if you see a movie with a fully shadow figure with a hat on that's fully black, and you're watching this image in a movie, what you are seeing is someone's depiction of a spiritual being that they encountered.
Yeah.
and they are replicating that and making you watch it. So even though you didn't have that experience, you're having it through watching the movie that somebody created.
Yeah.
And that is not safe.
No. And I honestly, what I would even say on top of that, this is like a little bit of a Paul theory, Paul hypothesis.
Okay.
Is that oftentimes, like, you know, these beings are trying to mess with us.
For sure.
It's like they're playing games with us, trying to distract us and pull us into deception. Yeah.
Yes.
And so I think a lot of times is, and I let me say this too. I don't think oftentimes that people that are making these movies are doing it intentionally. I think there are influences that can happen. Some people are being intentional.
Well, it's just what's consuming their mind and their writers.
I think
writers.
A lot of it is what we're seeing in these horror movies are actually just testing out ideas and how to scare us sometimes. And it's like, because a lot of times they'll take the form of that because it's like, oh, well, this worked, so let's do that.
Yeah, or potentially channeling.
Yeah.
Of going like, what is the scariest thing I can make?
Yeah.
And then potentially they don't come up with it. It's right. Downloaded to them.
Yeah.
Because when you open yourself up to that, like.
Yeah.
I mean.
Which, I mean, that goes down to even like the AI Loeb rabbit hole too.
That's a whole different thing.
That's a whole different thing. But it's along similar lines, I think, but for another conversation.
Okay, so your story.
Yeah, actually, so what I will say with this too, kind of bring in the Hat Man, giving him a little bit more grounding. And again, this I don't think I can confirm this, but this is kind of my thoughts right now, is so what he looks like is he's a shadowy figure with a hat, usually like a top hat style.
Yeah.
And a trench coat. His face is always hidden.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, it's like, yeah, there's death and terror in him.
Sure.
And I think that there is some correlation to him, and I've heard a lot of other cultures, how they depict him too, is it correlates back to the Grim Reaper, or some kind of reaper, this bringer into death.
Yeah.
And that's why he kind of stands and waits most of the time. He's waiting for you to die. And he's watching. Which I think in some ways might even go back to the fourth man of the apocalypse, the fourth horseman.
Oh, okay.
In some ways, there might be a correlation, which actually is kind of weird because that goes to the Paris Olympics right now, too, where they had a depiction of the fourth horseman.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not the first three?
I don't know. I guess they like death, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a side thing. Just throw in there.
Yeah.
More the coal Olympics. On the fire. So I had dealt with sleep paralysis, and there's lots of stories to go along with this. A lot of really weird experiences, and a lot of seeing a lot of things.
Yeah.
And there was a time then when I finally rededicated my life to Christ, and actually started practicing that all those things stopped.
Yeah.
That's
really important.
Which I find very important.
Yeah.
And so I.
And also, that's freedom. That's the hope of the gospel.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, so here's kind of the weird thing I'll throw on top of this, too, which kind of leads into the story.
Okay.
Is, so I was baptized soon after that, about maybe a year or so after. So I guess not soon.
Okay.
So I was baptized. So I was like, I'm actually serious about this. Like, I actually mean it. My sister and I, we went to visit some friends in Amsterdam for the first time. And there's a lot of weird spiritual energy around.
Yeah,
Amsterdam.
For sure. Yeah.
Very dark.
Yeah.
So we were there, and when we were there, it's like we're hanging out with friends, so we're staying up late. It's travel, so you're a little weary. We're out walking all the time. I'm a huge walker.
Yeah.
So I like just walking.
Yeah.
And so we're walking around the city. We're drinking. And one night in particular, I remember I woke up into sleep paralysis, and it was middle of the night.
And you're in Amsterdam.
I'm in Amsterdam.
Okay.
And it's funny because it's like I can remember it all very vividly because it's like this. I think this happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I woke up, my eyes were looking straight ahead, and where I was, it was kind of like this little nook.
Okay.
So straight ahead of me was a sliding glass window into the street. Actually, kind of looking into it was a river, so we're on the other side of downtown Amsterdam.
Okay.
So it kind of looked into the river. But
that's
then there's
scary.
A wall next to me. It's like a little half wall.
Okay.
Because there was the living room right in front of me.
Got it.
So we're kind of like in a section of the living room.
Yeah.
So I open my eyes and that's what I see. And then out of the corner of this half wall, I see the Hat Man kind of somewhat take a few steps forward. And so I can kind of just see the silhouette of him. And
so you see him move.
Yeah, so I see him kind of like come into the come into my view.
Yeah.
And so it was weird about it for me, and this I think this is part of why I remember it so well. It's because this is the first time it had happened in a year.
If okay. That,
if not more.
Yeah.
It'd been a while, so I was like, holy cow, here. And I remember because every time I woke up into it, and that time I was like, this again?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, no, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And I remember having that thought many times when I would enter sleep paralysis, like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I'm tired of this.
Yeah.
Which I think is a very spiritual thought. And
like, you didn't bring it on, but somehow you were engaged enough with it where it was something you were indulging in a little bit.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think, and that's part of what I kind of prefaced it with.
Like your first experience probably just happened to you.
Yeah, I think so.
And then.
Which I actually shared that on the last episode.
You didn't mind it very much.
Well, I.
Or you were just interested.
That one I was confused by.
Okay.
And then soon after that, it became interest.
How old were you?
8.
Your first one?
My first experience, yeah.
Was it in your house?
Mm-hmm. I actually shared it on the last episode. I'll share it with you later.
Okay. I'll just watch the last episode.
Oh, fair. But yeah, then there was stuff after that, which kind of, which is for another episode, probably to talk more about it. We'll probably talk about this again.
So you're in Amsterdam.
But I'm in Amsterdam. And so I see him come, kind of take a few steps forward.
Okay.
And I remember thinking in my head, like, not this again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm done with this.
There's something familiar about it.
Yeah. And yeah. So I see him, and I'm just like, oh, there he is. Like,
yeah.
My gosh. Like, I remember just being like,
yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of a funny thought.
Sure.
And I will say at this point, I didn't quite know what all of this was still.
Right.
It was still very confusing. And I didn't have any language to understand what was going on.
Yeah.
But then he starts speaking, which is the first time I'd actually had like audible, understandable words from him outside of like weird other tongue, other like indiscernible whispers in my ear.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, he actually like spoke words to me. And all he said was like basically like, you can't escape. Like, I'm watching you and your sister.
Wow.
And I remember being like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was funny in that moment. And I think it's cool because of how soon it was after becoming a Christian of like, yeah, no, it's not how this works.
Right.
And I remember telling him being like, no, actually you don't have the authority to do that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm covered. My sister, we're covered in the blood of Christ. You yeah. have no authority to do this.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that happened, I was out of it.
Yeah.
But I remember that moment, and as being like, that was kind of that first realization of like, oh, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, this is spiritual. And you're actually you're trying to scare me. You're trying to threaten me.
Right.
Because you know you know what I've just done.
Right.
You know that I've been baptized. I've dedicated my life to Christ.
Yeah.
And you don't like this because I'm not playing your games anymore.
Right.
And so you're trying to scare me back into it.
Yeah.
And through the power of Christ, it's like, no, actually, that's not what's going on anymore.
Yes.
That's not happening.
Wow.
And so I think that's encouraging, hopefully.
For sure.
Of like, you don't have to play these games. And that's what they are. Like, you're playing their games.
Yeah.
And it doesn't
playing end, into the deception.
Yeah. And it yeah. doesn't end with us victorious to play right. their games.
It's also really important what you said timeline-wise. It's really important for you to have said and to remind people that spiritual things will try to trick you.
Yeah.
Even in your relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
So, in fact, you'll probably get more, like, if you interacted with or have a past in spiritual things outside of Jesus,
yeah,
when you start your relationship with Jesus, those things will come back stronger.
Yeah.
And they'll come back probably more frequent.
Yeah.
And it will be one of those things where it will be a battle you'll have to fight in a different way.
Yeah.
Because before you weren't yeah. fighting.
Yeah.
Before it was just...
You were deceived.
Yeah. And as a person who was exposed to Christianity
yeah.
at a young age, you were in opposition.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it was... It makes sense of evil spiritual entities to want to try and capture your heart early.
Yeah.
And then for you to choose away from that, but then to access the blood of Jesus in that. And it's interesting that you say the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because when you started talking about it, the first thing I thought of was angel of death.
Mm.
And I thought about how,
yeah,
like going back to our first episode together, the Passover,
yeah,
where you have this angel of death who by the blood of the lamb covered the family in protection, just like the blood of Jesus covers us against the angel of death.
Yeah.
And maybe the hat man is the angel of death.
And even if we put him in a category of a reaper.
Right.
And it's like, he has no authority outside of what Christ allows.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So having the full armor of God on.
Yeah.
You can use the tools at your disposal.
Yeah.
The knowledge of the tools doesn't help you.
Hmm.
Having the tools with you will help you.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing.
And that's an important thing, and it's kind of scary. And I don't mean this, I'm not trying to fear monger, but I'm trying to, it is like the seriousness of it, the severity of this.
Yeah.
And it's something that you said too, of like, this will happen worse.
It will, yeah.
And I think because for us that don't know, there's grace for ignorance.
For sure.
And the Lord.
Things you don't know.
Yeah, the Lord gives us that.
Yeah.
But when you do know,
yeah,
and then it's willful, it's like, well, you're not deceived anymore. You're not ignorant. You actually know.
Yeah.
And it will be worse, and you should be more scared.
Right.
Because you made that active decision. And I think especially for us as Christians that have understanding.
Yes.
We need to be even more careful with what we do because, like you said, you're in actual opposition now.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And you have understanding.
And I'm trying not to say you're on the other side. Because there's not really two sides. Like,
right.
There's not a yin and yang.
Right.
Like, it's not, like, that is a New Age fallacy.
True.
Like, Jesus, like, in him, through him, by him, for him, all things were created.
Yeah.
He didn't, like, yes, we use the language of he won the victory.
Mm.
It was already his.
Yeah.
He just went through the process
that
he needed to go through for us. But...
Because that was a choice that he made.
It was a choice that he made.
Yeah.
But it was never going to go the other way.
Right.
It never was.
Yeah.
The enemy, the opposition was never going to win.
Yeah.
So there, really the battle that was fought was an unfair battle advantage Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And that's what's funny is like they knew they were going to lose. They know they're
going
to lose.
Yeah, it'd be like going into a soccer match or a football match and
10-year-olds versus the FIFA winners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
10-year-old versus FIFA winners. FIFA winners are already up 10 goals.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's and they have and the goal is this big. It's as big as the ball.
It's actually impossible for you to score at one goal.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Now, they may let you just for fun,
yeah.
I guess. And not just for fun, but like they may let you for a purpose,
right.
When you say it that way.
Yeah.
And there might be one score for the enemy side.
Yeah.
But the game is rigged.
Yeah. It is.
It was rigged from the beginning.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that shows... I guess kind of closing on this is like the hatred that these demons, these enemies of Christ have. It's like they know they're losing. They don't care. They hate him so much. They hate anything that represents him.
Yeah.
I think that's even, we see stories of non-Christians that are brutally attacked and go through many things. And it's like, because there is, even like, especially married couples, like, because there's a representation, whether you're a Christian or not, that's a representation of Christ in the church.
Yeah.
And they hate that.
Right.
Because it represents him.
Yeah, so anything that the enemy can do to poke at, scratch at, God's creation.
Yeah.
That's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's scary, and it should be scary.
Yeah. So, if you are, lucid dreaming is the thing that's right from
sleep paralysis.
If you are experiencing sleep paralysis,
yeah,
what would you say?
Yeah, I would say got to pray.
Yeah.
And it's like that's a big thing too, and it's the understanding of like what is happening and what are these demons, and hopefully we've kind of explained that a little bit throughout these episodes. But I think in a very simple way, cuz I can't speak to everyone individually.
Right.
Is consider your life. Consider the lifestyle that you're living. Are there things that you're allowing to invite and open yourself to these things? And the simplest way to know that is to pray and ask the Spirit, because He will tell you.
Right.
The Holy Spirit, if you don't know God, it's time to know Him. And if you do, it's time to ask Him, because He will reveal these things to you, because if you're in Him, if you're one of His, He's going to lead you to Himself.
For sure.
And so I guess, yeah, if you're experiencing this, I would say pray.
Yeah, and I think maybe the easiest phrase to use is getting your house in order.
Yeah, that's good.
So you go through all of the knowledge that you have and pay attention to the things you're doing.
Yeah.
Look at the altars that are set up in your life.
That's good.
And tear down the altars that are not to the Lord.
Yeah.
And if you tear down the altars that are not to the Lord, things that are happening to you will diminish.
Yeah.
But they may come on stronger only to deceive you and to tell you a lie.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is to plead the blood of Jesus.
Put on the full armor.
Yeah, put on the full armor. So, yeah.
I think it's important the fact that he does say fiery darts.
For sure.
Because fiery darts are brutal.
Also, what else would it
pierce you, but like they're going to burn you.
But if it's a cherubim, of course they're fiery.
Of course. That's good. That's good.
If it's the dragon, the ancient serpent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then of course they're fiery.
They're going to be fiery.
Yeah.
But I think it's like, the ferocity of that. Is that a word?
I like it.
Fierceness.
Yeah.
I like ferocity. That's kind of...
Let's
feels big.
Let's do it.
But knowing ultimately, it's like if you're wearing the full armor of God,
yeah,
doesn't matter. They're going to be extinguished.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right, man.
That was a good one. Thanks. Thanks for chatting.
Yeah. Thanks for telling that story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think I like how you framed it too, because I think it's important for people to know that like it's okay to talk about this stuff. It's not okay to dwell on it.
Yeah.
And think and ruminate on the experience.
Yeah.
But instead, stand on the other side of the freedom from that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Because there's freedom in Christ.
There is.
And I think that's awesome.
Yep.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening, for watching, however you're doing this. And actually, what I will say, and I would appreciate this, for those that are listening and are not following,
follow.
Give us a follow. And I would love to see more reviews from you guys too. That helps add credibility and add just make this more available to people. Because I think that's the big thing that I want. My goal, and I hope our goal in this ultimately, is to seek truth, but use this as a tool, as a weapon, as well, these conversations.
Yeah.
For one, I hope this encourages everybody to read their Bible more.
Yeah, yeah.
And two, the people that don't have access, that are being influenced by the New Age movement, by these other people that are adding these deceptions, that this is something that can come and wage war against that.
For sure.
And those are my goals, and I hope those are our goals.
Yeah, I like it.
But yeah, so I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much, and I appreciate you.
You too, man.
Thanks. And I'll talk to you. We'll talk to you hopefully sooner rather than later.
Let's do it. It's-a me,
the Hat Man.